from one of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah chapter 9, just verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I get to think about some really funny things. The word epitome. Anyone here thought about that word recently? You know, kind of occupied your mind and you really pondered the word? No one? Maybe you've got a life, I don't know. But just for your interest, it comes from a Greek word and it literally means to cut into pieces. And it was used in the context of getting into the essence of something. What is this thing really about? And then that word came to represent that which was typical, something which was typical of the larger whole. And so when we talk about the epitome of something, we are referring to the one thing which captures the essence of the larger whole. Epitome, that one thing which captures the essence of the larger whole. Are you with me so far? Are you as fascinated by this as I am? And are you wondering what on earth has this got to do with Christmas? Did you have late nights last night? You should have been working with me on this. It would have made me feel so much better, because then I wanted you to kind of be with me when I said, all right, let's make the connection. And I wanted to have seen excitement, you know, as now you would see how the thing fitted together. If you were looking for something that was the epitome of helplessness, of weakness, of dependence, what would that be? Well, I think a baby could be the epitome of helplessness, of weakness, of dependence. Now, maybe there are other examples, but a baby, I think, would be a good example. You see, unlike many other newborn babies in the animal world, which are able to move around straight away and to the extent can help themselves, a human baby is totally dependent. It is totally dependent, totally helpless, totally defenseless. Which is why I suggest that it might serve a baby as a good example of what epitome means. A baby is the epitome of helpless, of dependent, of weakness. Now, keeping that in the back of your mind, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the King of Israel. There he was with a coalition of armies camped on Israel's borders. And this coalition of armies is about to invade. And Israel's future looked really, really bleak. And Isaiah the prophet, he wants to preach a sermon to the king to help him and the nation find some encouragement regarding their long-term future. And so as he gets going in his sermon, he says to the king, don't worry, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And I have an idea that Isaiah's congregation must have felt somewhat underwhelmed. Why? Because a child is the epitome of helpless, of weakness, of dependence. When they're sitting with the armies encamped around them. And yet Isaiah preaches this message as a message of encouragement. A child would be born. What is going on here? Well, the truth is, the message that Isaiah preached was actually a prophecy. It was a message preached now foretelling what would happen in the future. God was telling us about something that would happen, but he was telling us about it long before it actually happened. And here is the prophecy, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, we take that and we fast forward 600 years. Caesar Augustus, He's the guy that's ruling. He decides it's time to take a census in his kingdom, and in terms of the rules of the census, each person must go home to their place of birth, because that is where they will be counted from, the place where their birth was registered. Now, a man named Joseph was married to a woman named Mary. Joseph was originally from Bethlehem, and so it was to Bethlehem that he would have to return. And so Mary and Joseph undertake this arduous 120-kilometer journey, because that's how long it is, by donkey, from Nazareth in the north where they're living, down south to Bethlehem. This was really bad timing for Mary. You see, she was pregnant. And 120 kilometers on a donkey is not fun for a woman about to give birth. I'm a man, I can speak without any personal experience, but I would imagine it is not something that a heavily pregnant woman would want to do. Well, they arrive in Bethlehem, and because of the pressure on accommodation, because everybody's there to register, no bed and breakfast is able to take them. But some kind bed and breakfast manager has a place in his stable, which they gratefully accept, and while they are there, Mary gives birth to a son. Now, for us, there's no suspense. We know that the son was Jesus. But let's take this back to Isaiah's prophecy 600 years earlier. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Read that carefully. The promise is not just that a child would be born. The promise was that also a son would be given, two different conditions coexisting in one person, a child born as well as a son given. You see, when you talk about a child being born, it's describing a natural birth process culminated in a human being being born. Whereas a son given, that assumes a pre-existing condition. The son that was there is now given. 600 years before, Isaiah pointed to the arrival of this one who would be both a child born as well as a son given. And the circumstances around the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus all validate the prophecy made 600 years earlier. Look at his birth. Mary and Joseph head for Bethlehem. And as we saw, the B&B manager cannot accommodate them except in a stable. And so we see a very human baby born in very humble circumstances with an animal feed trough as a cot. To you, a child is born. Nearby, just outside of Bethlehem, we see a group of shepherds. Shepherds in that culture were at the bottom of the social pile. An angel alerts them to the birth of this child, and so those shepherds make their way to that stable, and we have this very homely scene. We have these ordinary working class people crowded into that makeshift maternity ward. I see it often when I do my hospital visits. To you a child is born. And then there is a makeshift maternity ward itself. Nothing special about it. In fact, it is less than rudimentary. Could they smell the animal smells? Could they hear the occasional snort, the stamping of a hoof? Nothing here suggests that this was anything but what Isaiah had prophesied. To you a child is born. Now, the Christmas story is familiar to us, and there's more to it than that, isn't there? Certainly, this child was born in humble circumstances, but you know what? If you just stepped outside of that stable, you would have been immediately confronted by a cosmological phenomenon. You would have looked up and seen a bright star that seemed to point to that very stable. A bright star pointing to the stable, which gives credence to the prophecy. To you a son is given. A pre-existing entity has been given to you. Now the star pointing to that place of birth came in the context of another unusual happening. The shepherds, those ordinary working class people, were alerted to the birth by the announcement. The angel of the Lord came and made this announcement. And then the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. That angelic phenomenon gave credence to the prophecy. To you a son is given. And there they were, the child that was born, his parents in the most humble of maternity wards. And then there is this movement happening outside. I wonder, did Joseph get up to go outside to see what was happening? And to his amazement, he sees magi, wise men from the east, looking somewhat confused. They are there in their splendid finery, and they have gifts normally reserved for a king. And they explain to Joseph that they followed the star, followed it to this place where they believe a king would be born. And so the magi come in, and they dignify that humble stable with their presence, and they kneel before the child that was born. And as they present their gifts to the one they know is also the son that was given. For to you a child is born, to you a son is given. This is what Isaiah told 600 years before it happened. And we see how that was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. We see Jesus growing up. We see him embarking on his ministry. And as we see him embarking on his ministry, we see that the child who was born grew up as a human being, experienced hunger pangs, as we would expect from a human being. But we also note that the son who was given is able to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. In Jesus' death, we take note that the child who was born died in terrible agony on a human cross, as we would expect from an ordinary human being. But we also take note that the son who was given on that cross could look at that thief next to him and say, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Birth through life to death, the child who was born, the son who was given, equally coexisting in Jesus, fulfilling the 600-year-old prophecy of Isaiah. A gift. We do not simply admire the pretty wrapping. If all we do this Christmas is enjoy the festivities, which will be wonderful, enjoy the family time, which ought to be rich, enjoy the presents, which are a demonstration of love and generosity, if that's all we have done is admire the wrapping. Jesus, the child born, the son given, he is the content of the gift. And while a little child might be the epitome of weakness, helpless, dependence, this little child was no ordinary child. This little child has impacted this world in amazing ways. And I want us to close by listening to a song by Scott Wesley Brown. Thank you.